Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? First off, I'd like to say welcome to the show today, and thank you very much for listening. This is Zurian Bennett, and today we're going to talk about a couple of subjects, two that's very near and dear to my heart. One is martial arts, and the other topic is going to be fitness and health. And we're going to touch a little bit on self-defense. But, again, the general part of the show is going to be on martial arts and health and fitness. First off, again, I'd like to, again, welcome you to the show, for all of you that listen. And this is also a moment for you to not only hear about the topic, but to get to know and learn a little bit about me, you know, as we move forward and we grow on the show. Back to martial arts. Martial arts is one of the best fitness choices that there are, not only for getting into better physical shape and condition, but also for staying in shape. And I think a lot of people miss it. You know, they get caught up in the media hype about martial arts and which martial art is better and which martial art isn't. But there's all different types and various types of martial arts. And finding the martial art that's right for you is really up to you. You know, some people are like, oh, well, you do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or Karate or Taekwondo or, you know, Kung Fu or Chinese Kung Fu or, you know, different styles. However, none of those styles are perfect. You know, we all like to believe that whatever we're doing is the best, whatever we have is the best. None of them are the best. You bring the best to the martial arts for you through your practicing and your stick-to-itiveness of learning the art and not just the movements, but the reasons for the arts, the secrets, as they say, that are embedded in the martial arts. And those secrets can be a very wonderful thing for you and your family and your future health, life, prosperity, and your mental state of mind. Like I said, there's not any one style that fits all. Many would like to believe this, but let's face it, we live in a world where there's a lot of variety. There's many things out there, and none of them are the one thing or perfect. You know, we're constantly improving, and the martial arts is another area that is constantly improving as we learn, as we grow, as we realize that what we thought, you know, back in the 1950s was healthy for us, we find out wasn't healthy for us. I mean, if you've ever looked at some of the, listened to some of the old commercials and some of the things that they put out there as healthy for us, it's pretty amazing. It's comical now, looking back in, you know, 2011. But looking back then in the 50s, it made sense to those people, and a lot of it was media-driven. The talk that we're going to have today is, again, about the benefits of training in the martial arts and what it can do for you, all right? And achieving that maintenance, weight control, your diet, all of those different things. I think a lot of people don't understand that martial arts, just like everything else, is kind of like a lifestyle, all right? It's a lifestyle that you adapt, and if you adapt it now and stay with it, it'll be there for you for years to come. So with no more delay, let's move forward with the show. All right, the first thing that I'd really like to do is I'd like to talk about some of the questions that are asked about martial arts. I talk to people on a regular basis about, you know, different styles. Just so that you know, I am actually a martial artist and have been training for about 35 years. So I have some experience and quite a bit of knowledge in this area. But this show, again, isn't about me. It's not about my school or it's not about my style. It's going to be about a number of different martial arts. One of the questions that people ask is, you know, how much does karate or jiu-jitsu, which are the styles that I do, or basically any martial art cost? The cost of the martial arts is really not the question that you should be asking when you're looking at a martial arts school. You should be looking at that school and trying to figure out what is it that that school will do for you. How will it help you with your fitness goals? How will it help you to deal with stress? How will it help you to grow as an individual and a person? Because remember something, when we stop growing, when we stop learning, we stop growing. So it's kind of a back and forth thing. But anyway, to come back to that question, you know, when you're looking at a school, most people are shopping around. It's a staple of our culture, understandable. In but in Japan, to walk to a dojo first and ask how much is quite impolite. Again, I know we're not in Japan, but it's still a fact, and it's a common courtesy. You know, there's an old saying, if you have to ask how much the car is, you can't afford it. Well, martial arts is actually very affordable, and I'm sure that you can afford it. You just have to look at the priorities and say, okay, what's important? Anyway, back to the subject at hand. Most people first look into a martial arts and they'll ask how much it is. You see, in a real martial arts, it's not a daycare. You know, it's also not a gallon of milk. It's very serious. And certainly not something that you want to shop around for in the sense of a discount. It is an art. And you are seeking one instructor in that art to be your instructor, to give you the guidance and the understanding and somebody to actually care about you. You know, martial arts is based on a reputation. It's the reputation of the instructor, the reputation of the style, the system, and those that represent that style and that system. So when you're looking at a school, you know, you should see those things. It should feel like a dojo. It shouldn't feel like a daycare or someplace where you're going to go and just drop your kids off and then leave and then come back an hour or 45 minutes later, which is 45 minutes seems to be the standard. So asking the price is something that really is kind of backwards. A good martial arts school training is like having a good insurance policy. A good insurance policy is priceless. With great coverage, you get what you need and what you want in an accident. And that's kind of what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves for the future. We're trying to prevent that heart attack. We're trying to prevent that, you know, I can't run with my kids or I can't play with my kids. I mean, the fitness levels that martial arts gives you is just phenomenal. Most places have many programs, and these programs are designed to fit most people's budgets. Regardless of the program, there are a lot of studios that are more into trying to lock you into a contract. And getting you locked into a contract, I understand they're trying to stay in business, but they should also be a human side of it if things come up, things of that nature. Now, for some people, it's a motivator. That contract will make them continue to go to school, but again, or go to train. But the main thing is you want to look at the qualifications of the instructor in the program, the attitude of the instructor, and the last thing that you should look at is cost, because you're looking at your general health to move forward. All right? Some people want to know, how do you get started? This would be the next question. All right? It is very important at this time that you get to know a little about the program, that you learn that you need to take your time and that also understand that nothing is free. All right? Once you've gotten to a program and you've decided that this is the program that you want to do, it's really as simple as you signing the paperwork, coming to class, you know, getting your mat, your uniform, and whatever support equipment that you need to do this particular art, and then bringing yourself to class. Most classes are going to be for, like I said, about an hour, 45 minutes. You have some that are a little bit more intense. You know, at our school, we actually, our karate class is an hour long, and our jiu-jitsu class is an hour and a half, which is, that's a pretty good amount of time for training. But it's so that you get everything down and you learn the safety facets of it, and we teach you how to fall, how to punch, how to kick. Because martial arts isn't just about kicking and punching. It's about a whole philosophy. And that philosophy is going to help you grow and help you achieve your fitness goals. So once you've got your membership paid, you've signed all of your paperwork, you've got your gi, your instructor's taking you through your introductory course, and, you know, you've realized that this is what you want to do, it's as simple as making sure that you get to class every day. But understand, too, that martial arts, like life, isn't something that you just do once or twice a week or three times a week. It's something that you're kind of doing all the time. You're practicing the fundamentals. You're getting that spirit, that honor, that self-respect, and you're working on your fitness levels. And when I say your fitness levels, you're doing sit-ups and crunches and push-ups, you know, not necessarily running, but you're taking walks. You're trying to work on your cardiovascular and cardiovascular, aerobic, and anaerobic exercises, which martial arts covers, and it covers in great depth, as long as you can find a martial art that fits you. Again, it doesn't matter if you're 7 or 70, you know, or 80. Martial arts is something that you could do. It just depends on the type of martial arts and what your overall goals are. Your instructor. Your instructor should be a certified instructor. That certification doesn't necessarily have to be a national certification. If you look at the students and you look at your instructor and you look at his curriculum and or her curriculum and you look at everything that's involved, you'll get a pretty good feel as to whether this person is a salesman or a martial artist. A good martial artist is a little bit of both. I prefer a lot more of a martial artist than a salesman, but they're a little bit of both. So it's as simple as that as far as getting started. Some places also have an annual fee. That annual fee is usually a minimal amount of money, $25, $15 a month, and that's for association dues, things like that, like the American Judo Association. If you join them, you pay, I think, like $50 a year, but that $50 also encompasses some extra insurance for if you go out on different tournaments, things like that. And then you have other associations where they put out, you know, a monthly newsletter, so forth and so on. All right, next question. The next question would be, what is the difference between karate and taekwondo? Okay, for all of you people that do taekwondo, this is not a hit on taekwondo. I think taekwondo is a great martial art. However, it is not the only martial art. I am not really a taekwondo fan, but I am also not a person that is down on taekwondo. As I said earlier, myself, karate and jiu-jitsu are pretty much the arts of choice. But again, that's me, and the martial arts is a very individual thing. Okay, taekwondo comes from karate. Despite the legend that has been created by, we'll say, the Korean marketing machine, the truth is that taekwondo was formulated back in the late 50s around the Japanese karate model. And as an ancient art, the similarities in the forms and things of that nature are not a coincidence. There have been countless articles written on this subject, so I don't need to go into that particular one any further. There are a number of arts that are shoot-offs of the Japanese art. Some are embeddements. Some are just marketing tools. Taekwondo is a respected art. It is a trusted art, and it is an art that has been around a long time. However, karate was here first, and jiu-jitsu was even here before the both of them. For those of you that may be into martial arts history, judo was actually invented by Dr. Kano. Dr. Kano invented judo not 200 years ago, but that was in the, you know, that basically was in the 1900s, even though a lot of people would like to make you believe that some of these arts have been around for thousands of years. Their basis has been around for thousands of years. However, the particular art or form that you may be studying is an offshoot of that 2,000-plus year history, and that's something that you need to keep in mind. Another thing that I think is important with a lot of arts is that they do have a history. They have a foundation. They have a curriculum, and this is something else that you should look at. Look at their history. Look at your instructor's history. Who is his lineage? Those different things. Nowadays, in 2011, a lot of people don't look at that. They look for the commercialism. They look for, well, my friend Susie takes her son to Kukuku Martial Arts School, which is fine, again, but you're looking for something that's going to help you grow, help your fitness, and help your levels of knowledge grow. All right, another question is, what is the difference between judo, jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, classical jiu-jitsu, karate, so forth and so on? And this comes back to what I was talking about a little earlier. All of them have their roots in older martial arts. Perfect example, classic jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu. Well, the founder of judo is, you kind of got to go through the history, but when you look at it, you want to look at the fact that judo is an ancient art. It doesn't really matter who started it. If you looked judo or karate or any of those styles when they first started, and I'm talking, you know, close to 100 years ago, they have definitely grown. And they've grown in the sense that the martial arts that we do today are different than the martial arts that we did in feudal Japan. All right, they didn't have guns in feudal Japan. They didn't have cars in feudal Japan. They didn't have all of the different things that they have now. So your martial art should have a traditional aspect to it, but it should also be gauged to the world that we live in today. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is another very commercialized entity. Again, not downing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or not saying that it's not a good art, but what I'm saying is that you need to find the art that's going to fit you, your physical needs, your mental needs, your safety needs, because self-defense is a very strong strong thing in the martial arts, and your martial arts should have that, you know, along with the other benefits that I was talking about earlier. Okay. One of the other questions that I get is the question about what is a black belt? A black belt is a person that has studied the martial arts and through their study they have achieved a certain level of knowledge, a certain level of self-confidence, a certain level of self-respect, and they're at a level or close to a level where they can now take the information that they've obtained and share that with other people. But please understand that not all black belts are instructors. It's just like not everybody that's a black belt can fight, you know, or really defend themselves. A good black belt should be able to, but I have a question. How many professional boxers can teach boxing? Yet how many people that teach boxing aren't boxers and they're phenomenal teachers? The same thing. I mean, look at college. You have a professor in business. However, that professor in business can't balance his checkbook. Okay, but yet you have a guy that didn't go to college, started a business, and he's a multimillionaire. He couldn't teach you what that professor could teach you in the sense of proper theory, methodology, and practice for actually creating a business because he may have never run one. However, he has all of the paperwork behind him to go ahead and show you how to do it. A good martial arts instructor should not only have some paperwork behind him, but he should have a school that he has students in. He's showing you that he can do it along with the fact that he's also running his or her school. What is a sensei? Sensei literally means one who has gone before. It is a term that is loosely used, and the meaning directs to instruction of a dojo. Being a black belt does not make one a sensei. A formal license does, and a formal license, depending on who you are, depends on the level of rank from your dojo or your studio. But again, there are many very qualified instructors that don't have a whole lot of documentation, but they are good instructors. So that's another way to look at it. The fact that you're a 7th Dan or a 10th Dan or in some cases the new 11th Dan, and I don't understand that one, is not the indication that you're a martial arts expert or a martial arts professional. You know, you want to look at people and make sure that they have the proper documentation behind them, the knowledge, the spirit, and the attitude, and attitude is very important. In different styles, there's different rank structures. Those rank structures vary with the particular arts. You know, in karate, you'd be a sensei. You know, in kung fu, you'd be a sifu. Various styles have different names that they put to teacher or one that's come before. You know, Shihan. Shihan usually means license to teach. Kiyoshi. Again, these are just some loose terms that I'm throwing out there, but a Kiyoshi for a martial artist is like having a PhD. You know, it's a very high level of knowledge that you're supposed to have in order to actually have those ranks. All right. Final words, because I'm getting a little bit too much into the martial art aspect of it. Some may take offense to this and some of the things that I've said, but I mean no disrespect to any of them. All martial arts are viable. All martial arts can have a good structure. It just depends on how you do it. For you parents that are looking for a school for your child, you kind of want to look at that school and look at the sense of what's the curriculum, what are they offering, how are they going to help your child. Those of you that are looking for a school for yourself, you want to look at the level of fitness, the maturity of the school, what type of students they have. This isn't a bar fight. This is about you learning the martial arts. You all have to go to work tomorrow for the most part of the next day, and you don't need to be getting unnecessary injuries. You know, you want to look at how the instructor is running the class, what level of fitness that you're looking for, and you want to take it slow. Don't put it off, you know, forever. Right now in America, one of our main problems is that we have obesity. Obesity is just out of control, just totally out of control. And it's been getting worse and worse since the 1970s. You know, the pervasiveness of overweight children, you know, is more than doubled from preschool ages of 2 to 5 to adolescence of 12 to 19. And it has tripled for children that are 6 to 12 years. Nearly one-third of children and adolescents of both sexes, ages 6 to 19, which is about 31%, are considered to be either at risk of being overweight or are overweight. That number is unreal in this time and age. And define the overall of 85 percentile, you know, for the sexes specified by the BMI in the age flow chart. And 16% are overweight or are at the overweight point of 95%, you know, basically looking at the BMI. Now, I was recently reading where they're changing the food pyramid, and now it's going to become basically the food circle. Again, this is back to that thing I was talking about how, just like in the martial arts, as times change and our knowledge gets more proficient, we learn that there are, you know, better ways, that some of the old ways that we used to do things just are not, they're just not appropriate. Things have changed. Times have changed. Our level of knowledge has changed. And that level of knowledge, you know, is now telling us that, you know, we need to make some adjustments in how we do things. But this overweight thing is just through the roof. You know, some groups of children are more affected than others when it comes to being overweight than others. Amongst boys and young men, the risk of being overweight is a particular burden for those of Mexican descent, Mexican Americans, and we're talking about 42.8% of Mexican Americans ages 6 to 19 are either overweight, in the overweight percentile, and that's, again, unreal. Overweight percentile compared to 31% of non-Hispanic, let's say non-Hispanic black boys or adolescents. But that number is still high. And then at 29.2% of non-Hispanic white adolescent boys. And again, I'm just giving you these numbers. I'm not focusing on any particular race, but the number of children that are overweight is just unreal. Amongst young girls and women, it's 41% of non-Hispanic black youth percentile at risk of being overweight, compared to 36.6% of Mexican girls and young women, and 27% of white girls and young women. You know, and this information isn't something that I'm just pulling out of my hat. You can go to the CDC and pull a lot of this information. So, again, to be educated is a very important thing. You know, at-risk overweight BMT, 85 percentile to 95 percentile. Overweight BMI for that age, 95 percentile for the mass body weight index. For anybody that doesn't understand, I'm talking about the body mass index, which is the BMI. And the CSC is very, they have a lot of information that you can find on the area of teens being overweight and the levels of fitness not being what they need to be, not only in this United States, but in the world. Physical activity in schools has definitely gone down. Now, some of the schools have put a little bit more emphasis on nutrition. You know, they've taken the soda machines out and the candy machines, but our kids still aren't getting exercise. You know, they're, I was watching some kids the other day playing Wii. They were cheating at Wii. You know, they found a way, and kids will find a way to get around that. If you get your child into a martial arts program, and it's a real martial arts program, they're going to run, they're going to jump, they're going to kick, they're going to do all of the things that kids used to do back before we had all of these electronic gadgets and they used to get kicked outside by their parents to actually do things. They're going to learn, hopefully, the correct way to do a push-up, a sit-up, a crunch. You know, they're going to run, they're going to jump, and they're also going to work on something that's very important, and also some of our adults need to work on it, which is social skills. I see people all the time with their BlackBerries in their hands or their cell phones in their hands, and they're just, their fingers are going, they're text messaging. I mean, to the point to where now states have decided that cell phone use should not be done in the car. You shouldn't be text messaging anybody because of the number of accidents and other things that have been happening because of people being so distracted. Martial arts is going to, again, give you that focus. And it's going to give you the ability to, again, be a better person. And when I say a better person, I'm talking about a better person in the sense of your level of fitness. You know, your ability to your ability to do things with your children. I mean, I'm almost 50 years old myself, and I can run and jump and play with my kids forever. Okay, I can play and run and jump with my 13-year-old just as well as I could with my 20, soon-to-be 27-year-old. So I think that that's a beautiful thing, the fact that I have that ability. But again, nutrition is another area that we need to look at. Activity is another, which is why we're talking about martial arts. Okay, getting off of children and getting back to adults. All right, on adults, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too late to start program. It's never too late to start moving forward and working on your overall fitness. And that's as simple as you getting up out of your bed and taking a walk. I understand that we are all busy. I understand that we all have 1,000 things going on. I understand this on a regular basis because I resemble those remarks. You know, however, your health, your life is all you have. You're here for a finite amount of time. And if you do not use that time, if you sit up in your bed and stare at your television or, you know, leaders or readers, but you also need to put the Kindle down too. Kindle and the Nook are waving the country, and the level of reading is definitely going up. However, there's other things that you also need to do. Take a walk, all right, a simple walk. Start working on that cardiovascular. Get that heart moving. Get that heart pumping. And then as you feel more comfortable, move to the next stage. Those of you that are thinking about a martial arts school, go visit those schools. Don't just visit one, visit several, but don't make it a career. Find a school that you believe fits you, find an instructor that you believe fits you, and then get out there and get active, get involved, get into the program, get your party started, all right? Doesn't matter if you take karate, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, kung fu. You want to find a martial arts that's going to help you to grow and develop and become the person that you need to be. Again, I also talked about the self-defense aspect of it. All right, self-defense is very important, all right, and you really need to talk about the self-defense. Martial arts is going to increase your reaction time. It's going to obtain, you're going to obtain good balance. You're going to develop a plan of action on how you would deal with a situation if it happens by practicing it. It's going to get rid of distraction. It's going to do all of those things. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the show today. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to meeting you. If you have any questions, you can visit our website at www.sybcg.com. Again, www.sybcg.com. Remember what I said, today is now. We need to get up, get active, and get started. Thank you very much, and you have a great day. Bennett out.